before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst.
Hello and welcome to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. And as always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. So we've got a lot of great interviews this week. Let's get started with beer news. After being heavily damaged in a fire last April, Juneau-based nanobrewery Barnaby Brewing Company is working to rise from the ashes. First, its I'll Have Another Rausch beer took second place at the U.S. Open Beer Championship. Ironically, this smoked beer was the only brew to survive the fire intact. Then in mid-August, owner Matt Barnaby announced that the brewery had secured a new home still in downtown Juneau. The new location is on Shattuck Way, and the brewery's lease will begin on October 1st. Completing the formalities of transferring the brewery's licenses to the new location, installing equipment, and creating a tap room will take some time, but Barnaby hopes to be open for business again before the end of 2018. Alaskan Brewing Company welcomes autumn with their latest seasonal beer, Cranberry Tart. Taking inspiration from the season of harvesting and foraging, Cranberry Tart features local Sitka spruce tips along with a medley of berry flavor, the perfect accompaniment to rich, savory fall meals. Quote, "Alaskans spend this time of year getting ready for the long nights of fall and winter," said Andy Klein, communications manager at Alaskan Brewing. "Foraging, fishing the last salmon runs, harvesting from their gardens, picking wild blueberries, currants, and highbush cranberries, it's a time of change and preparation. This beer is a celebration of the change of seasons that affects every person and animal that makes Alaska their home." End quote. This autumnal wheat beer features a hint of spruce notes and is tart at the beginning, with sweet cranberry and citrus mellowing the overall taste. Beer drinkers will notice light pink highlights in the pour and a subtle dryness in the body. Its light tartness provides a counterbalance to salty, savory holiday foods like turkey, ham, and king crab. Quote, "When we start dreaming up a new beer, we try to think not only of the way we want the beer itself to taste, but all of the outside factors that affect people's experience of enjoying the beer too," remarked Alaskan head brewer Rob Day. "We think about the time of year, the different meals that someone might eat with the beer, even the activities that they might be doing when drinking our beer. All of that influences which ingredients we use and what flavors we want to bring out. This beer is crisp and a little tart to cut through the rich foods we eat in fall and winter, especially around the holidays. This beer is perfect for that. It's got fun flavor that can stand alone, but it's also a great food pairing beer." End quote. The label features the Alaskan moose, the world's largest moose variety, looking up through a patch of highbush cranberries, a sight familiar to many who experience Alaska's wild country in the fall. Cranberry Tart was released at the beginning of September in the 22 states where Alaskan beer is distributed. Devil's Club Brewing of Juneau has announced that it has joined the growing number of breweries in Alaska offering their beers in crowlers. Crowlers are 32-ounce aluminum cans filled to order at the brewery. The fact that they are lighter than glass and unbreakable makes them an excellent choice for folks looking to take craft beer with them on outdoor adventures. To educate beer lovers about the craft brewing community and what it means to be independent, the Brewers Association, the not-for-profit trade association dedicated to small and independent craft brewers, is launching a new national awareness campaign called That's Independence You're Tasting. This integrated advertising campaign is part of the Brewers Association's ongoing efforts to distinguish and promote America's small and independent craft brewers. The videos will be presented across a variety of media platforms. That's Independence You're Tasting takes a proud and positive tone, focusing on independence and choice, both key tenets of craft brewing culture, and tells the story of the country's more than 6,600 independent craft brewers. These hardworking men and women are entrepreneurs, innovators, collaborators, risk takers, and underdogs who advance the beverage of beer. Quote, "Independent craft brewers are a success story for American industry," said Bob Peace, president and CEO, Brewers Association. "Each of the over 6,600 U.S. craft breweries is a unique contributor to its community and should be celebrated. As a national campaign, That's Independence You're Tasting generates awareness beyond any one individual brewery or beer and touches the spirit of independence that is a core American value. We are proud to be able to do for all our BA members what would be extremely difficult for them to do individually. Together, we are united in independence," end quote. The initial phase of the awareness campaign launched in June 2017 with the introduction of the Independent Craft Brewer's Seal. Featuring an iconic beer bottle shape flipped upside down, the seal indicates that a brewery is certified to be independently owned. The seal has been adopted by more than 3,700 craft brewing companies, representing more than 80% of the volume of craft beer brewed. Quote, "That's Independence You're Tasting is designed to keep independent craft brewers and their beers top of mind. Our hope is that after being exposed to these stories, beer lovers are moved to support independent breweries and seek the seal when making their beer purchases," added Peace. "By choosing a beer that has the Independent Craft Brewer seal, the beer drinker knows that they are supporting a brewery with ties to the community," end quote. Nels Barnett, the owner of Cooper Landing Brewing, has announced that the company will begin construction later this year of a new brewing facility in Cooper Landing with a target completion date of 2020. I'll be interviewing Nels later in the show, so hopefully he'll be able to give us some more details. Seward Brewing Company closed for the winter on September 10th. They'll be back next spring. Also closed for the winter is the 49th State Brewing location in Healy, just outside Denali National Park. King Street Brewing in Anchorage has opened its rooftop deck at its new brewery, offering spectacular views of the Anchorage skyline. Kenai River Brewing Company won the Outstanding Business and Tourism Award at this year's Industry Appreciation Day. Congratulations to Doug Hoag and the rest of his crew on this significant achievement. Kenai River Brewing has also initiated a new food menu on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 3 to 5 p.m. This small bites menu will change daily and is designed around the idea that you should be able to have a beer and a bite for under $10. So those will be available on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 3 to 5 at Kenai River Brewing. That's it for this month's beer news. Up next, we'll have our interview with Zach Lampier of Bleeding Heart Brewery in Palmer. This is Bill Howell, Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And for our first interview this month, we're very lucky to be talking to Zach Lampier, one of the two gents behind Bleeding Heart Brewery in Palmer. So, hey, Zach, how are you doing?
Doing well, Bill, doing well. Good to hear from you.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. So, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with your brewery, why don't you give them a little thumbnail sketch of Bleeding Heart?
Bleeding Heart Brewery is one of the smallest breweries in the state. We're technically a nano brewery on a one-barrel system. We have 12 one-barrel fermenters, 3 one-barrel bright tanks, and a number of whiskey and wine barrels that we like to age a bunch of weird beers in.
And as for your location, you guys are literally a farmhouse brewery, right?
We are. We are set up on an original colonial homestead on the Outer Springer Loop. We actually are on a working Angus farm currently. It started out as a dairy farm back in the late 30s. And my business partner's family is actually part of the original colonists. And so that was part of their land. And we lease out our little corner of the land for the brewery.
Cool. So what's your hours like if anybody's looking to come up there and pay you a visit the next time they're rolling through Palmer?
Our hours right now are Thursday, Friday, 4 to 8, Saturday, noon to 8, and Sunday, 2 to 6. We're looking at expanding those hours come summertime because we are inundated with tourists as Palmer is becoming quite the little destination town. It's becoming kind of an Alaska bucket list place to go.
So you you recently, I know, got recognized by the Frontiersman up there, right? The People's Choice or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of People's Choice, we did end up securing the People's Choice gold pan there at the Kenai River Brew Festival there a few weeks back down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, that was your first time visiting, right? So you were first time winners?
That was our first time. That was the first year that we got there.
And that was with your Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter, right?
Yeah, the Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter is one of our most award-winning beers. So, yeah, the Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter won the People's Choice there at the Kenai River. We've also received awards for it at the State Fair as well, with hints of coffee in it. So we got, by the Frontiersman, we were recognized for best place to have a drink. So we were actually up against restaurants, hotels, bars, and breweries as well, and beat everybody out for best place to have a drink in the valley.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment. So a real feather in your guys' cap.
Yeah, yeah, we're pretty excited about it for sure. We're always, you know, we seem very arrogant and confident in our videos and in a lot of our marketing, but we're always really pleasantly surprised when people also like our product as much as we do.
So why don't you describe a little bit about your guys? Well, first off, let's talk about your background. How did you and your partner come into this? And you both come from a homebrew background, or what was your prior experience before you decided to open a commercial brewery?
Well, I started homebrewing about 8 or 9 years ago. A friend of mine turned me on to it, and I pretty much made only barley wines without realizing it. I was just making big, gigantic IPAs, and all of them were pretty much barley wines. And we were having a party over at my house, and Stefan had moved in with a friend of mine, so they came over, and I cracked into a couple of my home brews, and Stefan was just didn't realize that you could make beer in your garage. And so I went over to their place a couple of days later, and we made what became the very first batch of our coffee porter. So that beer has been with us since the beginning. So I showed him how to brew and do all the things that I was doing, which is apparently the incorrect ways of brewing, but I didn't know any better. And within a couple of days, he started getting all the equipment from the supply store and started testing the waters and checking the pH levels and all these things that I never did. I mean, I cooked hot dogs on the same grill that I was making beer on. Like, I never really did anything professional. And once he started getting the knack for the science of it, that's the type of personality he has. He immediately dives in and starts picking apart whatever that new thing is that he wants to learn. And that's what he did with brewing. And so after a little while of making beers for friends and for ourselves, we had enough support and enough people telling us that, you know, you really need to do this. You should really look into what it takes to be a small brewery. And my wife is one of the key players in that. She had our logo designed for us and really encouraged us into opening a brewery. So we moved forward with the Kickstarter and decided if the Kickstarter went well, then we would go for it. Then we would officially move forward with starting a brewery. And our Kickstarter made three times as much money than we expected, three times past our goal. And so we were stuck doing it now. We'd had to.
Yeah, you made a commitment now. Too late to back out.
Now we made a commitment. That's right. So all of our stuff says established 2014 because that's when we officially move forward with it. Our Kickstarter came out later that year, and then we expected to open that spring in 2015. Little did we know the two-year bureaucracy nightmare that it would be to open a brewery. We were dealing with the TTB, which is the federal paperwork, as well as the state paperwork. And then it's not as simple as, hey, I want to start a business. Here's my business license. Because we're dealing with alcohol, the control board is a party that is very involved. And so once we had moved forward with our TTB, with our federal paperwork, getting our state paperwork took another 6 to 8 months of, you know, zoning our area and where we could sit outside and how that accessibility would be determined, what our interior was made of, where you could have seats, where our taps were located, how, you know, the hours, the three beer limit, learning all of these things as we kind of went along. It's one of those things that if we would have known about how much the state controls the development of a brewery, we're not totally sure looking back if we would have gone into it at that point, because it was a bit of a nightmare.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you persevered. Have you guys got any kind of a philosophy of brewing that you'd like to articulate? I mean, what sort of beers should people expect from Bleeding Heart when they go there or see it on a tap somewhere?
Well, it kind of started with, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we first started into this, we wanted to drink local as much as possible, except we wanted more from the local breweries. We wanted there to be more adventure, more passion behind their product, and honestly, more heart. And we continue to be disappointed and continue just, well, for me and him, we just kept making our own beers. And so our philosophy for brewing has always been, you know, pushing the boundaries of Alaska brewing industry. We want people to be more adventurous, to be more passionate. Our slogan is drink like you give a damn, with the idea of you should care about what it is you're having. Don't just crack a beer because you're like, oh, I'm going to drink this beer now. Like, actually care about what it is that goes into it. Care about the story behind it. Why this name? Why this beer? Why this product? Like, every one of our beers has a conception, an idea, a background. Every name has some sort of story behind it, like Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter, Valley Trash Dirty Blonde, Cold Shoulder Crystal Weizen. Our purple carrot beer is called Purple Heart Schmurple Heart, and it's based on me getting blown up in Fallujah back in 2004. Our beer philosophy tends to be a passion for product, a passion over production, if you will. We want to make sure that the beer and the product that we're making is good, high quality, artisan ale, essentially.
That reminds me of a famous quote from Michael Jackson, the beer writer, where he said, "You should never just order a beer. It's too important for that."
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
So I know you've worked with some other breweries on some collaborations, including Seward Brewing Company down here. Why don't you talk a little about some of your collaboration beers? Because as you talk about pushing the boundaries of Alaskan beer brewing, a couple of those come to mind.
That's exactly that's our motto. That's our plan, is push those boundaries. So we did a collaboration with Resolution. We got locally made candy by Alaska Sweet Things and included it in the brew process as well with Resolution. And that was our Resolution Bleeding Heart Brewery collaboration called Hard Candy. And it was a Belgian style blonde. We also did a couple of collaborations with Seward Brewing Company. The first one we called William the Hippopotamus, and it was an imperial stout that we used potatoes from the valley and oysters from Seward and called it a chowder stout. The most recent one we did was Anything Goes, and that was foraged items from Palmer, so local strawberries, local fireweed blossoms, locally grown mint, and rhubarb. So strawberry, rhubarb, mint, and fireweed blossoms, all harvested locally, all foraged by ourselves and other people from their gardens and orchards. And then we used salt water out of Seward Harbor as part of the brewing water as well, and reduced some down to get some salt. And that was Anything Goes.
Cool. So if folks are looking for your beers, where do you have them on besides at the brewery itself?
We're on tap at about 16 different locations throughout the valley. For growler fills, we're all over the Three Bears in the valley, as well as we do have the La Bodega locations in Anchorage and Girdwood. We're on tap there for growler fills. And then by the pint, we can be found at Four Corners and Spurs, Palmer Bar, Palmer City Ale House. We've been in and out of Trout House, the Windbreak Cafe, a handful of different places that keep us on tap, Settlers Bay Golf Course. So we run rotating tap handles. So whatever we have available is what is distributed. And we are self-distributed, a self-distributed brewery. So I'm the one carrying kegs in the truck, or, you know, carrying them in Stefan's car to different places and putting them on tap.
And you do have some limited bottled beers as well, right? That are on, I know they're available at La Bodega. They're available anywhere else?
They have been available in the past at La Bodega. Mm. Right now, we only have a couple boxes left of our corked and caged beers. Those are the beers that we put in our whiskey and wine barrels last year, and they aged for about a year on oak. And then we corked and caged them for Christmas, and then we had some left over that we were selling throughout this year. But they are going, the leftovers are going to the cellar, because we're bringing six new ones out this fall.
Oh, excellent.
So we'll have the Anything Goes aged in a tequila barrel. We'll have Fat Autumn from last year. We'll have Fat Autumn from this year aged in a Wild Turkey barrel. We'll have Self Obsession, which is our Solera barrel version. When we pull out beer and bottle it, and then we fill it back in with a new beer, and that's our Solera barrel. So that's our Self series. We'll have Cherry Pop and Sour, which has local cherries thrown into it, and it's being aged in a white wine barrel. And then we should have Honey Bucket, which is a fireweed and honey coot beer aged in a Merlot barrel.
Oh, those all sound very interesting. I remember having the one of your Self beer, I believe it was, when I was up there in Palmer, and that was absolutely excellent, that sour that you had.
That was Self-Deprecation.
Self-Deprecation, yeah. I knew it was Self-something, and it was superb. So that's one of the best sours I've had made in the state. So good job on that one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We will have... we'll re-release what we have left of that next year. So we're just going to keep letting it funk in the bottle.
Excellent. So the inevitable question, have you guys got any expansion plans in the offing anytime?
Well, as one of the smallest breweries in the state, our goal will definitely be to expand at some point. Because we've only officially been in business, we're in our third year, finding... lending for land or a building or equipment is a little difficult. We seem to be able to get one, but not the other. It's like, well, we can get lending from equipment, but we need to be able to have a building and land. And so it's kind of a shuffle right now. We're trying to figure out a way to get all three. And then we'll probably do another Kickstarter as well, like we did the first time. We would love to have things purchased next year to maybe start breaking ground and then be in it the following year, if possible.
So you would want to be, I assume, still in the same general area, or you're looking to move up towards the closer into the highway with more traffic, or have you got any ideas about general area where you'd be looking to go?
We like being a destination brewery. We like that people come out to our place on purpose. We don't get a lot of stragglers. We don't get a lot of people that just wander in. If they're coming to our brewery, they're coming to hang out. They're coming to partake in the product. And they're coming to hear about what makes our brewery different than the other breweries. And they already are coming with the mindset of being there and enjoying the experience. So our goal is to stay roughly in, if possible, in the same area that we are, in the Outer Springer area, if we can.
Well, I can vouch for that. The first time I came there, I drove by it, missed it. So you guys are definitely off the beaten path. So I had to turn around to find you. But
if we stay at the current location any longer than a year, we're gonna have to figure out put some sign more than just our pallet sign out on the road.
All right. Well, hey, Zach, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I certainly appreciate it. I know our listeners do. Hopefully we'll see you back down here maybe for the Frozen River Festival in February.
Oh, yeah. Definitely plan on being there for Frozen River. And I'll make sure to bring something special, too.
All right. Well, hey, we look forward to it. So
hey,
thanks again so much and appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely, Bill. Thank you.
This is Drinking on the Last Frontier with your host, Bill Howell. We'll be right back with the next segment here on 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.